This nation was founded on the principle that all men are created equal.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
That all men are created equal.
I'll tell you what freedom is to me. No fear. I mean, really, no fear.
Created equal.
From WDET in Detroit, this is Created Equal. I'm Stephen Henderson, and with me in our studio is Carey Jr. II. He is the show's producer.
All right. How you doing, Stephen? Are you ready to talk about medicine, public health?
Yes. Medicine's not my area. That's more my sister's bag, as they say.
Same.
I mean, she's a doctor and has a master's in public health and is kind of a star in the medical field. I leave this stuff to her.
That's fair. My sister also has a master's in public health. She's not a doctor. So whenever I think of health stuff, I'm like, me and my family on our video call, like, hey, what does this mean? What's going on? She's just like, hey, guys,
your sister.
I can only do so much.
That's right.
I can only do so much.
Yeah. So, but I do talk about medicine when it bumps up against the subjects that we cover here on Created Equal. And that's what we're doing today, when we're going to talk about this dramatic change in the way that doctors consider race in diagnosing kidney dysfunction, and the difference that has made for thousands and thousands of Black patients.
Yeah, it's this weird equation called the EGFR equation, one of these acronyms that measures creatinine levels in your kidney function. But the point is, there's an equation that measures your kidney function, that predicts your kidney function, I should say, that doctors had a race-based calculation that began in the 90s. That calculation has been used to predict that function, and it made Black patients' kidney functions appear healthier than that of other races. So they essentially were bumped down on a kidney transplant list in relation to other folks, because it just seemed like their kidneys were in better shape. But time had passed. In the 2020s, the National Kidney Foundation and American Society of Nephrology, they formed a task force to investigate that equation, and then they released a new recommendation that removes race. And since then, thousands of Black patients now have had their wait times adjusted because now that they use this new race-neutral equation, they're seeing a more realistic representation of where Black patients perform, their kidneys perform.
Yeah, and the key here is that this change means better care for African Americans, and that's really important because our history in this country is just absolutely fraught with instances of the medical system reflecting the racism that exists in greater society and offering less care or worse care to African Americans. Here, we're talking about a change that actually made a really positive difference. We're going to be talking with Dr. Neil Poe, who was a member of the task force that changed racial considerations in this kidney diagnosis calculation. He is also the chief of medicine at the Priscilla Chan and Mark Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital. Dr. Neil Poe, welcome to Created Equal.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be with you.
So I want to start at the beginning, because I'm not sure most people have any familiarity with this subject, how we diagnose kidney function or dysfunction, or if they do, they don't have much understanding at all. So talk about what the race-based calculation is for kidney function and for kidney transplants and where it comes from.
Yeah, so The race-based calculation that has been used to estimate someone's kidney function, and by kidney function, I mean the ability of our kidneys to filter unwanted or toxic substances from our body. This formula has been in place for over 25 years. It was first developed in 1999, but off of evidence data was different, that not that the filtering function was different, but that the substance that we call creatinine was different among African Americans than among other races and ethnicities. So it was incorporated about over two decades ago based on this evidence. But the complication of that is that 20 years later, it confused young physicians as well as patients about why this social term that we call race was included in a biologic measure of how well the kidneys work.
And we should be clear about the stakes here. This calculation is used to determine when you might need a transplant, which, of course, is the most radical treatment that you could receive when it comes to your kidneys.
That is true. It's used to determine whether people are placed on the waiting list. People who have chronic kidney disease are placed on the waiting list for a transplant. But the formula is not only used for that, it's also used for when to refer individuals to a kidney specialist. Mm-hmm. And I think very importantly, it's used to decide whether to administer drugs or the dose of medications to individuals, because our kidneys also work to eliminate beneficial medications to us. So it's used for, the formula is used for a variety of indications.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the sort of, I guess, the racial dimension of that and explain why this is necessary. Why do we need to consider race when we're thinking about all of this?
Yeah, so where this came from, actually 50 years ago, there was an equation that we call creatinine clearance. It's actually called the Krockhoff-Gault after the people who developed it. And that formula was developed in the 1970s. It was developed on 249 white men who were in a hospital in Montreal, Canada. And then that formula was extrapolated to all their ethnicities and also to women as well. And then almost 20 years later, actually an African-American scientist working at the NIH did a study that looked at the substance creatinine. Creatinine is a substance that we use to measure kidney function. Creatinine is produced by all the muscles in our body, and its breakdown then is eliminated through the kidney. And so it's a substance that was used as a marker to indicate the filtering function of the kidney. Well, this African-American scientist, she looked at creatinine levels across the whole population, men and women across all ages, and found that African Americans had higher levels of serum creatinine than their counterpart white individuals. And the reason for that wasn't clearly understood. And when the people who developed the equation for filtering function of the kidney for estimating it looked at their data, but they actually had a gold standard of how well the kidney function, they found the same exact thing, that creatinine levels were higher among African Americans than among others. They felt that they couldn't ignore it at that time, and they then wrapped this up into their equation, and they did it by considering race as a variable in the equation. But you can see the confusion that caused by having the social variable in. Yeah. We still don't understand the reasons for these differences in creatinine levels among African Americans and whites. Furthermore, there were conjectures kind of at the time or speculations that maybe the reason for the kidney, the higher creatinine levels was due to muscle mass, okay? And you can see how that would be pretty pejorative to say that African Americans always have more muscle mass than white.
Yeah, and that sends us, I guess, down this potential tunnel of inequality, right? Of assuming differences, reacting to things as though there are fundamental differences. I mean, all of this ties pretty tightly into a pretty fraught area of medical science and of medical culture in our country, where African Americans have been treated differently than other people.
Yeah, that's correct, and that's why it was important to fix this. And I was asked by the National Kidney Foundation to co-chair a task force in the year 2020, when a lot of the objections came about to using race in the equation. A lot of that was driven, you know, by the deaths of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor, where people were seeking social justice. And so people in this case were seeking medical justice and a concern that these equations were hurting each other. And so our task on the task force was to find a race-free way to look and estimate kidney function for all individuals.
Yeah. So let's talk about the task force, the work. How do you go about doing that, and talk about how you end up in the place where the task force did with its conclusions?
Yeah, so first of all, the task force was composed of a variety of individuals, experts, as well as patients. Two African-American patients participated on the task force. Our job was to understand this issue. So a lot of what we did, first, we started with the evidence and laying out the evidence for why race was included, and as well as our values, what we wanted to aspire to. And that helped members of the task force who came from different perspectives to get on the same page. Hmm. The second thing we did is we invited experts in a number of different sessions to other experts outside the task force to talk to the task force. There was actually over 100 experts who we had come and talk about various aspects, like you said, the impact on transplant, you know, Black individuals getting transplants. We had people come talk about medications. We had people talk about how these measurements of kidney function get done. And then we also, in addition to that, had we had three open forums where we invited patients and their caregivers. We had a forum where we invited young learners who were learning in the medical profession. And we had a session where practitioners were invited to comment to the task force. I think the important part of this is that the task force evaluated 24 different ways in which we might eliminate race from these equations. Mm-hmm. And to do that, we came up with a set of attributes that we aspire to see. And they included the availability of different markers to measure, blood markers to measure kidney function. They included its impact on the consequences, included measurement issues, and included patient values. We wanted the approach to be patient-centered. And fortunately, we were able to come up with a solution that unified all of us. That was promulgated and took us a year in 2021. Mm-hmm. And we published those recommendations in a couple medical journals. And what's been great about it, the unification has been great because after about 18 months, two-thirds of all the laboratories in the country have now adopted the new race-free equation. And that's just something to celebrate. It's even interesting because the original equations, the race-based equations, took actually 14 years before they were even adopted into practice. But this was only within, you know, several months. Huh. So we know that we found a great solution to this problem.
Yeah. I want to talk about what the outcomes that you expect might be from changing it this way, right? So going to a more, you know, a race neutral way of looking at this, what will be better for patients?
Yeah, so that's very interesting. It's a very interesting question, astute question. What's interesting, and let me just go back a little, because in 2020, the way that institutions began trying to think about social justice, that they wanted to eliminate race, they just dropped the race variable from the equation. Mm-hmm. But that actually was not the right way to do it, because by doing that, you essentially are removing African Americans' data from the studies. If you extrapolated that to all of medicine, then you would say we never need to have African Americans ever enrolled in a clinical in our clinical trials or research. And just base all the measurements that we do on the white majority population. That was, in fact, what happened 50 years ago with the Krafft-Ohs gulf. Hmm. So the new approach, what it does is it understands that there's a different signal for African Americans than for whites, but it blends those signals together. Therefore, it changes the equation, not just for African Americans, but for whites and other ethnicities as well. So it will have an impact on both. We haven't yet, I haven't yet seen research studies on the actual impact. But we do know that the new formula will probably move some people up on the waiting list. In fact, the what's called the Organ Procurement Transplant Network actually allowed kind of a strategy where individuals who might have been harmed by the past formula could then be their waiting time reset. Yeah. So we know that that's happening, but I think it'll take a little bit more time to understand the real impact on whether African Americans get more transplants. But it might have also an effect on the other ethnic groups as well.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Dr. Neil Poe about the calculations for kidney functions, making them race neutral in America. We'll be right back with more Created Equal.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. Welcome back to Created Equal from WDET in Detroit. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you have decided to join us. Our guest today is Dr. Neil Poe. He is the chief of medicine at the Priscilla Chan and Mark Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital. We are talking about the equation that is used to determine kidney function, an important part of determining medical treatment for people with kidney dysfunction, and for determining when people need and should be eligible for kidney transplants. Dr. Poe, I want to start this segment talking about other medical practices throughout history that have kind of similar origins to this, other medical practices that were raced in the way that they were executed or determined. There is a disturbing history, I think, is maybe the best way to put it, of that in the United States.
Yeah, that's true. We all go back and, you know, think about the Tuskegee experiment, mm-hmm. which just was an ethical nightmare and hurt African Americans. And that's always in our mind when we think about African Americans involved in research and about their care. The practice of using race in different algorithms, I think, was initially the initial thoughts about it and why people did it was they thought it was achieving more precision, but it was a very blunt way to do that. What probably was driving differences that people saw, biologic differences, were other factors that were related to race, but weren't actually measured in a lot of the research studies. So people tried to use this blunt factor of race to try to address that. But as you know, it's had some casualties. It's been used to measure people's lung function. Lung function equations have incorporated race. It's been used to decide whether, for example, women should have a vaginal delivery after they had a C-section. Mm-hmm. It's been used to determine whether individuals who would have good outcomes from cardiac surgery. And so, you know, when you have such a blunt variable that you're using, that doesn't always apply to everyone. We do these studies in a population-based way, but individuals are really different in mm-hmm. the population. And so ideally, we want to have variables in the equation that are biological and that both patients and clinicians can understand why they're in the equations.
So can you place the kidney function calculation, I guess, on the spectrum of these kinds of considerations in the past? I mean, you started there with the Tuskegee experiment, which of course is probably the most well-known and one of the most egregious examples of race affecting medical care. Obviously, you could go from there to far more nuanced and considered ones. But where does the kidney function calculation kind of fall on that spectrum?
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that the reason the kidney function one became apparent is that, you know, we use kidney function in medicine for a variety of clinical decisions, as I said, to make decisions about whether people should receive medications that could be harmful to the kidney or actually beneficial to the kidney, mm-hmm. How much of a dose of a medication to give, because if you have worse kidney function, it's going to take you longer to eliminate a medication. If you didn't take that into account, you would have high levels of a medication to build up. We use it for things like if you're getting an imaging examination, like a CAT scan or CT scan, we use that to determine whether someone should have an injection of what we call a contrast agent that allows us to visualize organs better, because that contrast agent is excreted through the kidney, and we don't want to give a large amount of that if someone's kidney function is impaired. So in medicine, it's used a lot. In fact, most people, when they actually go to the doctor and they get a blood test, a kidney function test is part of that. So it's used in a ubiquitous way throughout medicine and in all patients. And I think that's what really makes the kidney function issue so salient.
When we think about this new calculation, can you talk about how quickly people will, I guess, realize that it's different, or realize different care because of it?
Yeah. As I said, this equation, after 18 months, is now adopted by over 60, two-thirds of the laboratories in the United States. One of the issues is how you update this, because we had, you know, an equation that we used before, and now we're using a different equation. And so if you have with the new equation, you have this function where you didn't with the old equation, that is going to cause, you know, need some thought by a physician to understand, was it just the calculation or was it someone's underlying kidney function changing? So it's really important that patients work with their clinicians to understand that, because it is very nuanced. And there are other indicators that we can use of whether an individual has a problem with their kidneys. And so it's not just this test, but other tests that we can use to corroborate whether someone, has abnormal kidney function. That's just one of the challenges with a change like this in medical practice.
I would imagine that another challenge is the difference in care that is generally available to African Americans versus the other population here in the United States. There's a terrible history of that inequality. It still lives with us. Can you talk about how that might play out in this space as well?
Yeah, so I think this removes the consideration of race in the diagnosis of kidney disease. That is really a victory. We all ought to celebrate that. But there are many other ways that, in fact, care may be impeded, whether there's still racism out there, whether it operates on a personal level or structural level. We also refer to internalized racism, and those are things that, because things happened to minority populations years ago, we internalize those issues. And sometimes we do things that aren't for the best of our health. The kidney example is just one example, but there are many other places that we need to intervene to make sure that we achieve health equity for all.
Talk about where those places are. What are some of the things we need to be doing?
Well, I think one of the places that that I've done work with others in is the issue of having a provider who understands you. And we've done work where, you know, we've looked at whether a patient's having a provider of the same sex or the same race leads to a better experience of care. And that is very true and been replicated in a number of studies. The problem is we just don't have enough, for example, African-American physicians. We have, you know, 13 to 14% of the population is African-American, but only 6% of physicians, for example, are African-American in the United States. Mm-hmm. So that leaves a large gap that takes time to fill up if we believe that, you know, having someone who looks like you and understands you leads to better medical care. And that's why we've had such a big emphasis now on, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion training to help others be able to take care of populations different than they are. That's a big place that we really need to operate and do more work on.
I also wonder if you worry about the faith that African Americans have in the medical system and in doctors. Does removing race from this calculation get us closer to African Americans feeling more confident about the kind of care that they're getting? Is there a way that perhaps this might cut in a different direction, that the change might shake people's faith, I guess, in that they might have in their doctors? I'm trying to, I guess, in my brain here, you know, assess how we get to a place where people can get the care that they need, but they also have real trust in the system that provides that care, and what this change does in that space.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with that, absolutely. And what's interesting about this is that even before a small number of people knew that race was actually even in this equation, let alone the other variables of gender and age and serum creatinine. No one really, you know, I think most of us as lay people would not even have known what was in that equation. But I think the opportunity that the medical profession, the National Kidney Foundation, American Society of Nephrology embraced this. They were right out front and in the beginning of this and said, we need to change this. And found the path forward. I think that engenders some trust that I think will will be important in the future, and hopefully other professional societies will do the same.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Dr. Neil Poe about the equation used to determine kidney treatments in America. We'll be right back with more Created Equal. Welcome back to Created Equal from WDET in Detroit. I'm Stephen Henderson, and our guest is Dr. Neil Poe, Chief of Medicine at the Priscilla Chan and Mark Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital. We're talking to him about race and medical diagnosis, a change in the way that doctors are using race to determine kidney function and the needs that people have with their kidney function. We're talking about how that fits into the, I guess, the larger context of race and medicine. Dr. Poe, I want to start this part of the conversation talking about something that we heard from a local nephrologist who shared a research paper that found that the calculation without race, this new calculation, is less mathematically accurate than when it considered race. Now, I know it's the truth is much more complicated than that, but I want to have you react to that and then help us understand some of that complexity.
Yeah. So, Stephen, that may be true, but there's some nuances associated with this. When you say that the new formula may not be as good as the old one, you have to ask, well, how much? and it turns out the new versus the old formula are, you know, within a range that is good enough to be used for clinical decision making. And so if you have two alternatives, and in fact, they're very, very close to each other in terms of their performance, mm-hmm. then I would choose the one without race.
Okay? Yeah.
It's good enough for decision making. And we have physicians use also their clinical judgment about what the true kidney function is. Remember, these are estimators of someone's kidney function. They're not the actual kidney function. So physicians use a variety of other information also to hone in on whether someone has kidney disease and how severe that kidney disease is. So even when we have this one measurement that this algorithm produces, there actually is always a little uncertainty because these are developed for a population. They're mm-hmm. not developed for individual patients. And mm-hmm. so when we apply these to individual patients, we need to really look at the patient, discuss with the patient the implications before we arrive at a final number and make a decision based on those numbers.
Yeah, yeah. So I also wonder if we can talk about other medical practices that still exist that still use race, and I guess why that might be either a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, again, this is all pretty complicated, and there are some instances in which it makes sense to use race. But are we still doing things in a way that uses race inappropriately as well?
Well, yeah, that's hard to say. You know, even though the National Kidney Foundation was out front on this as the first group to remove race from these equations, there's still areas in medicine where race is still used in these calculations. Interestingly, there was a report at the time that this was happening for Congress people commissioned a study by the federal government to look at the evidence for incorporating race into equations. I think that was Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker and Barbara Lee here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And they asked this government agency to do an exhaustive look at the evidence. And what that report that was recently published a couple months ago showed is that in fact, the use of race in some cases was beneficial, in some cases was harmful, and some cases had no effect at all. And so it gets complex because each area of medicine is different and the rationale at the time for including race in the equations was different depending on the circumstance. It wasn't like everybody said, oh, race needs to be included in every equation. It was because there was some underlying evidence that was driving this. And that's important because we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. There may be places where it's important to understand race or what race is representing when it's used. And that it may, in some cases, be helpful until we understand better in medical practice what's driving this variation.
Yeah. How do we guard against, though, the negative use of race that we can probably sit here and catalog lots of different instances where that has happened. I mean, and that kind of gets us back also to the faith that African Americans have or should have in the medical system.
Yeah. So, I think academic institutions like the one I work at, University of California, San Francisco, we have a responsibility to teach young learners, the physicians of the future, how to be ethical, how to reach health equity, how to treat every patient in the same way, or at least understand what patients want. So I think it starts there for the future workforce and have confidence that we're arming them with the tools to deliver equitable care. I think then, for existing physicians, professional associations are right on top of this, like the National Kidney Foundation, to educate its members about the judicious use of medical tests. And I think also involving patients, just like you're having this discussion today, that patients understand at least what some of these issues are, and they can bring them to their physicians and have discussions with their physicians about their own personal health care.
Yeah. How can medicine consider race without overcorrecting and, I guess, perpetuating racial biases? Like, what's the line there?
Yeah, I think, medical science evolves, okay, over time. It's evolved. We don't practice the same medicine that we practiced two centuries, one century, or even a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's learning. It's learning as we have new research that emerges that helps us understand how to deliver better care. So we need to scrutinize every time that we even develop a new test or have a new way of doing something, whether it's equitable, whether it has unintended consequences, that may disadvantage one group of individuals over another. So this is not something that we do once in time. It's something that the profession has to embrace in many ways, as I said, through its learners, through its professional associations, mm-hmm. through its education with patients.
Yeah. I want to give you just a little time to talk about, I guess, what's next and how this kind of advance, this race neutrality that's been brought to kidney diagnosis, to the calculations behind kidney diagnosis, I guess, open the doors to other kinds of research or other kinds of changes. Where does this take us?
Yeah, I think this is the frontier. We need research studies funded by the National Institutes of Health that funds a lot of the research in our country to focus on these issues. Interestingly, there are some private foundations such as the Doris Duke Charitable Fund and Burroughs Welcome that have embraced this and are actually funding research to look at how race should or should not be considered in things such as clinical algorithms or even across medicine, let alone clinical algorithms. So there's a variety of frontiers of research. We need to embrace the look and the delving into understanding what race is, what is underlying mm-hmm. its correlation with health outcomes, so that we can intervene with in an appropriate way to make people healthy.
Yeah. Just listening to you talk about that, though, I mean, it does brush up against the questions about race consciousness that we're kind of struggling with. You can't do what you're talking about doing without race consciousness. I mean, this idea of pretending, I suppose, that inequality doesn't exist, it would bury, I guess, the kinds of pursuits that you're referencing here.
Yeah, that's right, Stephen. Many people, you know, would think that race is a four-letter word and that shouldn't be spoken, right? Right. And you know, I think that, you know, like, you know, I don't think that's the way to think about it. I think we use the term race conscious. And I think that's really important to recognize how we use race appropriately or inappropriately, and then correct it if it's inappropriate. So I think that's really important. You know, I like to encourage people to do you know, think about race consciousness in how we do research, how we do education in the medical profession.
Yeah. Okay, Dr. Neil Poe, it was really great to have this conversation with you and have you explain for our listeners a rather complicated medical subject so that they can understand how medicine is advancing and changing the way we think about race. Thanks so much for being with us on Created Equal.
Thanks for having me, Stephen.
So one thing I thought about in your conversation with Dr. Poe, and I think he spoke to it a little bit, was the amount of funding that's going towards research of this kind, where they're looking into particular impacts of medicine on marginalized communities. I wonder how much attention is being given to research teams of color and whether or not they're being invested in order for us to come across more medical practices of this sort, like you never know.
I think that's an important point because this discussion we had today is just a fraction mm-hmm. of the universe right. of you know, the ways in which race influences medical care right. in this country, and even though there's way less of the intentional misdiagnosis or lack of care that used to happen, you know, it's still a huge deal. And there are lots of ways that African Americans receive worse care because of racial bias. And so you need people really fly-specking mm-hmm. everything that we're doing to try to find ways to make it better.
I mean, the conundrum here that I feel like this episode touched on is, when is it appropriate to take race into consideration? Because, again, this equation was an attempt to account for some difference.
Right.
But there's accounting for race in which providers identify people of a certain group, in this instance it's Black patients, and then predict their kidney function differently based off of that. And then there's taking into account racism.
Right. Yes.
How do we account those for are all different the impacts? Things. Those are very different things. Those are different measurables. That could be socioeconomic status. That could be educational level. That could be food access, you know, like stuff like that.
Right.
You can take that into account. So it's just hard to understand.
Yeah. No, it's a complicated dynamic, and it's been with us since the beginning. I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
True.
That's it for Created Equal. You can listen to recent episodes at WDET.org and make sure to subscribe to our podcast, where you can leave us a rating or a review. Created Equal is produced by Carrie Jr. II and David Lines. The audio editing is by Connor Anderson, and the music is by Sam Bobian. Created Equal is a production of WDET, a listener-supported service of Wayne State University.